This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And we're back, Liberty and Night, with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We got like two things to talk about today, but first, I got to tell you, I watched this documentary that one of our, subscribers?
Fed haters.
Fed haters, that one of the Fed members. Haters posted in the Video Links channel. And it looks like he's not here right now. Magoo posted this. And it's called Climate, the Movie. I recommend everyone go and watch this. It's about an hour and 19 minutes long. I watched it yesterday. It's really good. As you know, we've been long interested in climate change and all the boondoggleness that the government's pulling over on us.
Uh-huh.
I will say, this is how I think people should watch a documentary. Naturally, it's how I watched it, so I think it's the right way. I watched a documentary, and I heard their explanations for why temperatures might be rising at certain times and decreasing at certain times. They thoroughly debunk, or they at least present enough arguments to debunk the common consensus and narrative on climate change in this documentary. That CO2 is not leading to temperature increases, that the temperature increases that we see have a lot also to do with where our thermometers are located, a lot of them being in the urban centers, and they read hotter temperatures. And so if you just look at rural temperature data, it's actually not risen that much at all. And if you look at ocean temperature data, it hasn't risen that much at all. Things like that. But then they also present this other argument for why temperatures might be going up, like... what was it? Cloud cover.
Like the sun.
Yeah, it was
like the big burning ball of gas.
Like ours.
That we're rotating around.
Like the source of all of the heat that we have on this planet.
Yeah.
They make that the argument that it's actually the sun, and that it affects cosmic rays and solar winds and all this stuff. And you can put up these nice charts that correspond and correlate with temperature increases and decreases, lined up nicely with solar activity, things like that.
Every time I hear solar wind, it takes me back to Armageddon.
I know. Yeah. Solar winds. Mylar sails. Yeah, I know. I hear the same thing as soon as I heard it when I was watching.
Come on, guys. Is this the best we got?
So... here's the thing, though.
Maybe that's what we need. We need Mylar sails.
I watched
to catch the solar wind.
That's what it is.
Redirect it up out of the atmosphere.
Well, that would actually make it hotter.
No, redirect it up out of the atmosphere so that it doesn't hit the surface and we don't have the rising temperatures.
Mm-hmm. That could be it, too. We could try that if you want to try that. We could try blowing up the sun, cooling down the sun, something like that.
Here's what I think is
hold on, let me finish my point.
Oh.
I know that was a long lead up. I just wanted to tell people what it was about. The lead up is, I watched this.
Why don't you just recount the whole documentary? I guess we have time, I guess.
That's all we have for the documentary. The point is, I watched this documentary, and it essentially confirmed everything I wanted to hear about the climate change hoax. Like, it is perfectly aligned with what the reality that I want and that I hope is true. And so what did I come in and do this morning? But I spent about half an hour trying to find any single study that backed up what anyone was talking about when it came to solar winds and cosmic rays and stuff like that. I'm not saying I didn't find anything, and that means that what they said wasn't true. What I am saying is, when you search something online for this, all you find are pages, and I'm three pages. How often do you scroll through three pages of search results on a browser?
Hardly.
Almost never do you
Most
do that.
People don't do that.
All I found were studies that were essentially debunking this theory that clouds and solar winds and cosmic rays had anything to do with climate change. CERN, the big research center, they did a big study saying that this isn't true, all this stuff. I found nothing to corroborate what anyone in the documentary was saying at all. And so at this point, I've got to do some more research, because anyone can say anything in a documentary, and especially if it lines up perfectly with what my worldview is and what I want reality to be. Well, that's great. I love it. But I will not just decide to believe it and decide that it's true.
Yeah.
I have to look into it further.
Which brings me to my point.
Yes.
We probably just don't know enough.
That could be it.
Yeah.
It could be the answer.
And the biggest thing is, we shouldn't be making drastic decisions because we don't know enough. Mm-mm. That's the thing. If we know that our models can be drastically wrong, we shouldn't be directing trillions of dollars, potentially affecting millions of people.
Billions of people.
Poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And that we shouldn't be killing them, in essence, to save the planet 100 years from now. That's the biggest thing. Climate change could be real. It mm-hmm. could be human cost.
Could be.
But at the same time, like, we have to be very careful. And just like COVID, we need everybody at the table.
Yeah.
You know? Get your environmentist, your client,
Scientologist.
Get your tennis players.
You need those too.
You know, like Djokovic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get your economist, like real economists.
Yeah, like Robert Reich.
Get everyone at the table. So, because it affects whatever decision you make is going to affect everything. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying.
Sorry, Kevin. If you don't want to be affected, don't get poor.
Yeah. Hey, the best thing you can do is lift yourself out of poverty.
Yeah, that's actually how you solve the problem.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you said, what if we just don't know enough? That could be the case. Like when we didn't know enough about COVID, like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, what they defaulted to was, well, let's just assume that we're right and go towards this course of action, you know, just because we don't know enough. Well, that's not the actual answer. And also, even if you did assume that what people believe about the consensus on climate change, after you kicked everyone else out of the room, that the consensus is true, what we are doing and what we are talking about doing would do nothing to solve that. In fact, what we need is more industrialization around the world. We need Africa to go through the same stages that we went through. And then eventually we'll develop all the right technologies. We'll eventually decide that we have to move to nuclear. And then we'll solve the problem if there is a problem.
Now, what if we all went to nuclear? No one was burning fossil fuels ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just didn't exist. We weren't contributing any CO2 to the atmosphere whatsoever. Neither was China. Nothing. The Earth continued to warm.
Yeah.
That's probably because of all the damage.
Probably happened that we already did damage. Actually, what could happen is, if CO2 levels got too low, we would all die. So,
because we'd be
cold. And another thing that documentary lays out is that we're at historically low levels of CO2 in the atmosphere right now. It used to be 5 or 6 times higher than what it is right now.
How do they know that?
So, well, they look at rocks and ice cores and fossils and things like that to make those determinations. But anyhow. That's what I wanted to say about the moral of the story is, you need to do more research into things and not just believe everything that people put in front of you.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's actually the only reason I wanted to talk about that.
So you're telling people to be a client and go out and be a climate scientist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's start off by talking about the John Stewart thing right fast, because I think it could take up some time. There's this thing going on right now. You know Trump's case where he just defrauded all the banks and the people of New York, apparently, and had to pay $454 million. That was decreased to $170 million, something like that, at the beginning of the week. Well, John Stewart did this big piece about it, and I actually believe it was Tim Pool who was the first to come out and talk about this, and then the New York Post has a story going about it. Now all the right-wing people are jumping on it. And essentially, the story goes like this. John Stewart has been found to have overvalued his New York City home by 829% after slamming Trump's civil case as not victimless. I can pull up the article and we can read about this some if you want to get some of the actual numbers here. But you can scroll through and just see Charlie Kirk. After railing against Trump's civil fraud case, it turns out John Stewart overvalued his own NYC home by 829%. People who live in overvalued glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Here's an, I don't know who this is, but it's got a lot of retweets. John Stewart was just caught overvaluing his home by 829%. Ironic, considering he falsely attacked President Trump for his valuation of property. Let's see what else we got. Simon Ateba? Is that what you would say?
Yeah, perfect.
Do you find this funny? After being found to have overvalued his house by nearly 900%, Trump's neighbor, John Stewart, took to X to defend why Letitia James should not come after him. Yeah, John Stewart did have a post about this. He said, OMG, I've been caught doing something not remotely similar to Trump. I guess all I need to do now is start a frog college, steal classified docs, bankrupt casinos, pay hush money, grab P words, discriminate in housing, cheat at golf, and foment insurrection, and you'll revere me. Wait. Trump cheats at golf?
Yeah, he does?
This is the break.
This is the real story.
No, he's not that kind of guy. He wouldn't do that.
I mean, with that kind of swing, obviously
he's ridiculous.
Got a two handicap. You know?
Is that good or bad?
No. A two handicap? Yeah. That's good.
Is it good?
Close to scratch. A scratch would be a, you know, zero handicap.
So this is a complicated situation because this is a really fun and easy thing to say. And it starts off with something that was likely politically motivated that happened to Trump that shouldn't have happened. Or you could at least say it would not have happened had Trump not been Trump, because they don't go after people like this. This was the first time that this happened. The banks testified on his behalf. Okay, yeah. This is pretty unprecedented when it comes to what happened to Trump. But I'm sorry to tell you, if you're super pumped about this John Stewart story, and it's a real gotcha moment for you, this is not the same thing at all in relation to what Trump actually did do in some cases, like what John Stewart lays out, putting down that his 11,000 square foot space was actually a 30,000 square foot space. That's a lie on the document. Now, yep. The banks were fine with the valuations. They gave them the loans. They were all good with that. And I think value is very subjective. Maybe this is worth this much money to me. Maybe
there's something called due diligence, that where the onus is on both the buyer and the seller to act in good faith and do your due diligence to make sure that something's not happening nefarious. Something nefarious is not happening, especially when you're handing out millions of dollars worth of loans.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, it's on the bank who's giving him the money to make sure that the valuations line up. Like, for instance, like, value is subjective. You might tell me that this cup, what do you call these kind of cups? Tumbler? Yeah. No, it's not a tumbler. What is this?
It looks like your shaker. Version of a Stanley.
It's a shaker, is what it is. Yeah, this is my Stanley cup. This is a $5 cup from Walmart. Right here, it's got this nice handle.
It looked to be like $20 to me.
This thing right here. And I just said it was $5, so I guess I kind of lifted the veil there a little bit. But it's a used cup, and you might tell me that this here cup
is used by you.
Yeah.
So,
well, for some people that makes it go up.
Ladies are building bidding on that
for sure. I'll even sign it if you guys want to put it. Yeah. We'll put it on the website.
Yeah.
GodHatesFest.com.
Now, what happens if you sell that cup for $1 million?
Well, let me ask you. If I were like, hey, Charlie, do you want to buy this cup? I've been using it for about 6 months now.
No.
You don't want to. What about for $1? You'll have a cup afterwards.
No.
10 cents you give me for this cup.
No, I got too many cups.
Let's say a reasonable person comes in here. Let's say they own a flea market.
Costco would buy it.
Okay.
He loves you.
And they're like, okay, that's $1. But I say that this cup right here is worth $20 to me. Okay. And I paid $5 for it. In my opinion, it's worth $20. You want to know why? Because I don't want to spend the time to go get another cup. I really want it. I'm using it. I like this cup. It's one of my favorites. Okay. Value is very subjective to people. Trump might have looked at the property and said, how much is that worth? Well, what would I sell it for? I don't really want to get rid of it. Someone would have to offer me this much money for me to sell this thing. That's what it's worth, in my opinion. Okay.
Yeah.
So we just committed fraud.
As long as someone's willing to pay it.
Yeah, someone's willing to pay it. We just committed fraud just then. But anyway, that's...
Do you know how much John Stewart's home is worth or was worth?
Are you talking about what the tax assessment was on it?
No. It was $17.5 million.
Oh, yeah, that's how much it was worth.
That's what somebody paid for it.
And that is the whole point of why there is no fraud that was committed here. I'm trying to find the actual stat of what the tax assessment was on the property.
It was around $750,000.
Well, there was one. There was a lower one that was around $847,000 right here. On the paper right here, they have $1.8 million. That's the estimated market value of $1.8 million. Actual assessor valuation was $847,174. And then he sells the property for $17.5 million. Now, does that mean that... does that mean that John Stewart defrauded anyone in this process? The tax assessor decided it was worth somewhere between $850,000 and $1.8 million, something like that.
That's and he the paid taxes on $750,000, actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tax assessment right there.
Oh, okay. I got you. $748,000. I haven't looked at this yet.
Actual AV and then. The trans AV is what you pay taxes on. Pay taxes on $748,000.
Now, when John Stewart sells the property for $17.5 million, did he overvalue his home by 892% or whatever the stat? 829%?
No,
no, because someone came in and paid that. And you know what? You know, I watched like 5 minutes of Timcast this morning on my way here, and he made the argument that there's a victim in this also, because that person who paid $17.5 million for it sold it a few years later for $4 million less. Mm-hmm. They sold it for 13 cents. They lost $4 million. So they're a victim because John Stewart overvalued his home by up to $17.5 million by 829%. He didn't overvalue. That's what the person paid for it. That's up to them to pay that much money for it.
And they don't have to. That's the thing.
No, they don't.
You don't have to pay that.
The idea here is that this is nothing like even the Trump case. Even if you believe the Trump case is total BS, which most of it is, except for the part where they lied about the size of the properties in some of the cases. Even if you think the Trump case is total BS and you think it's a political witch hunt, which it is, you still can't correlate these two things together and say that they're the same thing. First off, I don't want John Stewart to pay any taxes on this property, so I don't care what the hell the tax assessor said it was worth. I hope they
said. In fact, I'm glad that he got to pay less.
I hope they said it was worth a dollar, and then they taxed them based on it being worth a dollar. That's all I really care about, because taxation is theft.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's the tax assessor that apparently wildly undervalued the property when they were taxing them.
Yeah. And I agree. What Magoo here says, I don't think what Trump or Stewart did was wrong. Yeah.
That's the actual answer.
Except for Trump lying about the size of something. Mm-hmm. But he might do that all the time. Who knows?
Even then, I put that. I mean, sure, maybe they lied. Maybe they got it wrong. Who knows? Maybe they didn't have a big enough tape measure with them that day, and they just guesstimated how big they thought it was.
Think about it, a 30,000-foot tape measure, 11,000-foot tape
big,
measure.
I mean, that's even big. The 25-foot Stanley FatMax is like a $30 tape measure. You know, it's expensive. Tape measure.
So if you line all those up,
yeah, I mean, you got to have a lot, of people there, a lot of Stanley Fatmaxes out there.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Magoo's here now. Magoo, you didn't hear. We started off by talking about that documentary today. Well, I watched the whole thing yesterday. Let's recap what we said.
That's the problem. And of course, I guess they're going after John Stewart because he made a monologue about Trump being a fraud or whatever. Like, I guess that's the thing, which I also think John Stewart gets wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing John Stewart said in one of these clips is that they knew that Trump had overvalued his properties because they had the tax assessments on the properties. And they knew that what it was, the assessed value was way less than what Trump was putting down was the value of the properties. Right. And so that's where they kind of got him on this whole tax assessment thing. Okay. It's still not the right argument, because Trump was going to get loans from banks and John Stewart was not going to get loans from banks. He was asking willing buyers to come and buy his property. And so he wasn't writing down, well, this is worth this much money. It's worth whatever the person will come and pay for it. And hell, even the fact that it was once owned by John Stewart makes it worth more money, more than likely. Yeah. So it's kind of tough when it comes to property tax assessment.
Just like Mar-a-Lago is probably worth more considering the president of the United States owns it.
Well, there was this ridiculous instance of them saying Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million or something like that, which was stupid. And then when they were talking about Trump needing to come up with $454 million dollars or whatever the number was, you had all these talk show hosts or people on CNN saying, well, he could sell Mar-a-Lago. That's would likely go for $250 million. They just said it was worth $250 million.
Yeah.
When like a month ago, they were saying it was worth 18. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Kind of weird stuff right there.
Cause a former president and likely a future president literally lives there.
Yeah.
And they called it the summer White House.
Let me show you you remember the DEI conversation we had yesterday? Okay. These are continuing stories. Yesterday, we saw that someone called Baltimore's mayor the DEI mayor. And we talked about how, yeah, that's kind of actually racist looking at a black guy and assuming that DEI had something to do with it. And then people said, well, when people say DEI, they mean the N-word. And when they say woke, they mean the M-word. Well, Bishop Talbert Swan, who is a real person that is not trolling, followed by Jamal Bowman and other people, has now come up with a word, a list of words that mean the N-word. So it's not just CRT and DEI and woke and things like that.
Why people? Why people?
White people, I guess.
White people? White people.
Here's a list of words.
Well, he says glossary of white people.
terms and their meanings.
Is that derogatory?
I don't know. all these words equal the N-word. Thug, inner city, law and order, welfare queen, you people, personal responsibility, handouts, socialism, Marxist, affirmative action, Chicago, urban, critical race theory, woke, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Here we go. Didn't we say this was going to happen yesterday?
Yeah. Victim. I keep looking and I keep looking and I cannot find that any of this is like, you would assume that this is a troll, right? It seems made up.
No.
You don't think? No, you don't look at this and assume?
He's extrapolating the idea, which is exactly what we said is going to happen. We predicted this yesterday. When did he post this? 18 hours ago. He probably listens to the show. I was like, well, I can expand on that.
Well, what happens when all of those words that I just mentioned are actually considered to be the N-word? Well, then you can't make any points about anything ever.
Can't say anything.
You can't say people have
a victim mentality. This is how the left likes to argue anyway. You know, they basically present their arguments as that basically if you have anything to the contrary, well, then you, like, you're not really a person. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. But basically saying you can't say anything against it. So this is another form of doing that. If you say whatever, woke or Marxist now,
Marxist.
If you say victim, scroll down because he's got per capita, race baiter, quota,
fatherless,
Detroit, low IQ, should have complied, Democrat plantation, un-American, can't say any of that, entitlements, nope.
Oh, man.
Now you can't say any of it.
What a convenient position for the victim to have. All right, we'll be back with more real soon.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. President Biden had a phone conversation Tuesday with Chinese President Xi Jinping. It was the first time in several months the leaders have talked. The White House reporting the two leaders delved into a variety of crucial topics. The White House expressing outrage over an Israeli airstrike in Gaza that resulted in the deaths of 7 World Central Kitchen workers. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby emphasized the Biden administration's call for a prompt investigation and demanded appropriate accountability. President Trump would like the New York judge overseeing his hush money criminal trial to step down from the case. Judge Juan Merchan recently issued a broadened gag order, which prohibits Trump from making negative remarks about either his family members or those of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. Trump criticized Merchan, alleging bias, highlighting the judge's daughter serves as president of a progressive political consulting firm, which has worked with President Biden. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Coming at you from windy Nashville, Tennessee. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Mayor Protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. That is dash.org. And of course, I have to tell you guys once again about my little faux pas with my savings account. You know, I put a bunch of money in there and then I didn't look at it for a few years. Well, you know how inflation's been over the last few years. The government's been punishing me for keeping my wealth in cash or in my savings account through inflation, which is a tax on savers. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. To find out more, go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. GML stands for Good Morning Liberty, which is our daily show. We do a new show every single day of the week called Good Morning Liberty. On Tuesday nights, we're called Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. But you can find us as Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. And we do Dumb Bleep of the Week every single week, where the live group votes for the dumbest thing that happened in politics. How's it going today, Chuck?
Chilly. I'm ready to talk about some dumb.
It's chilly. We got chilly and we got some dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Chilly sounds good.
It actually
makes
some
chilly sometime.
It was a little.
You put beans in your chili, right?
It depends.
Is it depends?
Is it competition chili or am I making chili for my family?
Chili for your family.
Beans. Yes.
But you're too embarrassed to put beans in the competition chili.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just that you don't put beans in competition chili.
Yeah. I like beans in my chili, yeah. But I heard that's not the right way to. Anyway, this is Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of the perfect chili recipe. And we will get there someday. It's all about the pursuit, though. Okay.
Yeah.
We talk about those things every single day of the week when we want to.
Monday, we didn't want to.
No, we didn't. We just straight up didn't want to on Monday.
We have travel coming up where we're not going to want to.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That's true. I'm going to be in Peru for a week.
You're going to Peru.
Not going to want to. I'm going to have to do double time beforehand, though, because we probably have advertisements or something we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You know, even when you think you work for yourself, you still work for someone else.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And people obligated. You're obligated. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be like, no, I'm taking the time off. They're like, no, you got to run the ads.
Yeah.
Like,
are you going to lose your sponsorship?
Yeah. And you're like, okay, well, see, you're beholden.
Like, screw you. Yeah. Noble Gold Investments?
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. NobleGoldInvestments.com/GML. That's a great place to go.
Okay,
it's Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's the day where we talk about all the dumbest things, a lot of them submitted by the live group, the Fed Haters Club. Join GML.com. Go to that link if you want to join the Fed Haters Club, and you can also vote and all those things. When we do our Dumb Bleep of the Week episodes on Friday, we have 10 Dumb Bleeps today, spanning all the way from last Friday, a couple things that we didn't catch that happened maybe after we did Dumb Bleep or we didn't see them that day, all the way up to today, tried to get the freshest stuff we possibly could. Spanning from crazy. Did you see the Vandy thing? The thing that happened to Vanderbilt yesterday?
People locking themselves in or whatever.
Yeah, man, that's going to be fun.
They all got expelled.
That's a good one. Mm. I think they got suspended. I don't know if they got expelled. Oh. We'll see. They still want their money.
Gotcha.
So we'll see. Anyhow, it's Dumb Bleep of the Week. I guess we get on to number one. And
I feel like those things should go on your degree, by the way. Like,
yes.
Like, okay, yes. You got a college degree with an asterisk. It's like, you know, you broke in to a facility and decided you weren't going to leave.
And sit in,
yes.
You know, the pro. Yeah, I agree. What better person to start with for Dumb Bleep number one than Kamala Harris?
Kamala.
It kind of seems natural at this moment to start with this. So she goes to Puerto Rico. This was last Friday, I think, that this came out, but we missed it for that last episode. And she's greeted by this band playing her a song. I don't expect that she's going to know all the words and stuff. It's just kind of a dumb situation that happens. It turns out the song is protesting Kamala Harris being there, but it's in a different language. And so it's just kind of a funny and dumb situation.
She doesn't speak Spanish.
And she's real pumped about it until this person comes up and tells her what they're saying.
Is this the interview?
So it's pretty good stuff.
Is this the interview?
Here we go. Now she's getting explained too what's going on. And she's done clapping now. That's it. Still smiling. Keep smiling. Nodding your head along.
Who's with her? Who's that guy?
Oh, I don't know who that guy is. He doesn't matter. I don't like him. And, okay, there's that fake smile. Got to be a good politician, though. Lyrics of the songs go, let's see, we want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? Long live free Palestine and Haiti, too. So they're protesting the war, basically, what's going on. Little story here. I was going to see if there's some more. Her motorcade was greeted by a mix of several dozen loud demonstrators and onlookers on the sidewalk. One held a sign that said Kamala Harris, war criminal. Another called the USA and Israel genocidal. And so it just kind of makes for a nice little funny moment. And also, I mean, the balls on that band to decide that they're going to change up some lyrics or whatever and actually make it into a protest song and know that she's not going to understand it and create this moment where she's clapping along to a song where they're making fun of her and protesting her.
That is pretty hilarious.
It's great. That's actually kind of we should have done White Pill Wednesday for this one,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Next, that we're going to keep on Kamala here for a minute. This was also last week. It had to do with the red flag laws She goes to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And what'd she say here, Charlie? We're still on number one, Kamala Harris.
The memory of what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas will never be erased. Inspired by the community's courage, let us find it within ourselves to do more. We know it works. Universal background checks, red flag laws, and assault weapons ban. Now, legislators must act. We know it works.
We know it works. Except for we don't know it works because those things don't work. That's the only problem.
Yep.
And so I just wanted to point that out real quick. So as usual, what people do is they lay out these, what they call solutions, and they say that these things work. And actually, when you dig into the numbers on these things and independent groups do research on them, they basically see that they don't do anything. That's about it. Mm. But if you want to stop Marjorie Stoneman Douglas from happening, we know what works, and it's these things that don't work. All right, Kamala Harris is number one. This is a pretty easy one. How about this? We'll talk about the bridge here for a second. You know the bridge? The one that, you know, the Baltimore? Did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. Baltimore Bridge?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, DEI took it down.
Oh.
No, sorry, that's a later dumb bleep. Here's kind of a...
I thought that there wasn't a bridge anymore.
This one just kind of gets a question mark from me because I know it's someone who is pro-immigration and, you know, we don't have an immigration crisis, all this stuff. We want everyone to come here, all that. And so the next stage of this argument, I guess, goes something like this. Immigrants likely saved American lives on the Baltimore Bridge by working difficult construction jobs for Americans in the middle of the night. Can't wait to hear the Breitbart report about these hardworking, humble men who are still missing. So some of these people that were there, this guy, Jesus, it looks like Jesus to me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, Good Friday right now. So Jesus Campos, an employee of the contractor, worked the overnight shift of the bridge work before switching to another one. So that guy looked out. He said the missing men are from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico. So that it's sad. I don't really care where the people are from, but I'm trying to figure out the argument here. Immigration is good because we could have those people die in place of Americans in dangerous jobs.
Yeah. I don't quite understand.
I'm trying to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Don't worry about immigration because actually it could keep Americans safe. And, you know, praise be to he that it wasn't Americans that were on the bridge when it went down. And so we should have more immigration so they can be the ones who die.
Maybe we should have immigration and conscript them to military service.
Sure. So we don't have no more. Americans died in wars.
No,
you know, and they're just fighting.
They'd all be hardworking, humble men from another country.
Magoo says, AKA, we use immigrants as human shields. Coming soon. I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting argument, interesting take on the pro-immigration.
Interesting. What side a crazy of things. Take.
Super important, though. So, are you more pro-immigration now than you were beforehand? Now that you know that you can get them to die in your place?
I've been pro-immigration just because human beings deserve the right to travel freely.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. Dumbleat number three. This is Beto. He's on the Bill Maher show.
This guy still exists?
He's still out there.
Huh.
Still doing his thing. He's going to talk about greedflation. He's most famous for losing elections. We'll watch this clip about greedflation.
Trump is doing better. I would say it's because he's a great liar. And again, if you're not able to check the facts, here's what he's been saying about food. Food that costs 40, 50, 60% more than it did a few years ago. Well, food is up like 20% since Biden became president. Not all his fault, but not, you know, Trump says bacon up 5 times. Well, it's up 12%. See, this is a big problem when you don't know anything. You can't compare it.
All right. Now, first off, this wasn't even part of what I planned on talking about, but the official inflation numbers, I think I talked about this on the day that you weren't here, but the official inflation numbers for food changed in the 90s. And one thing that they changed was that they started accounting for substitutions that people would make.
Yeah.
And if they think that you would switch from, say, a name brand to a store brand, off-brand product, then they only account for what you were paying for the name brand and what you're now paying for the off-brand product. And so And then that is the inflation number that you're paying. It does not track that same can of food that you were buying in 2019 and what that same can of food costs in 2024. Mm-hmm. You would think it might do that, but
no,
it doesn't. No. It doesn't do that. So that's one thing. Bacon, it would be the same thing. There's different brands of bacon, and he's basically making fun of Trump for saying that food has gone up 50-60%.
Some food items have gone up.
Some have.
50-60%, 100%.
And in fact, if you haven't changed...
200%.
I mean, we were looking at... We get these... it's a random... We get these Propel sticks, you know, drink mix things. Mm-hmm. We love them. We just get bottles of water.
Kind of like Crystal Propel Light.
Stuff in there. Yeah. Propel only it's version. Propel,
yeah.
You know? And
it's Propel good for Crystal Light.
It's good for your health.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it propels you forward.
Gatorade says
in
so.
Life.
Says it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, those things, good Lord, they're now $6 for a box of them. And they were $2.50 for a box of them before this whole whole mess started.
And you probably got less in there now.
Might be probably a couple less grains of Propel in there. I'm less propelled now than I used to be. Anyhow, that's a side note. Let's keep going to what Beto says.
To what's said. So, and what do you make of this? I have a feeling Biden's going to lose this election because hot dogs cost more.
This is a great opportunity for him to tell the American public why this is happening. The fact that he's done better than any other leader on the planet in reducing inflation, it's just not catching on. But if he points to the real culprits, to these grocery store chains and these massive corporations, which the FTC just yesterday released a report on and said they're price gouging. These are the Walmarts, the Amazons, the Krogers of the world. They were jacking prices in the middle of inflation and blaming it on the economy or, you know, by implication, the president. He needs to go after them. And now that the FTC has made this finding, he needs to make sure that he gets money back for American consumers. So you can't control Trump's lies or whether young people are going to read the facts behind that. But you can draw people's attention to the real culprit and villain in this.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I've been enjoying one of the arguments that's interesting on this is what people will say when it comes to inflation. The first line, let's say you work for the Democrat Party or you're arguing for Biden, is you'll say that America has done better against inflation than any other developed nation. Like, that's the first thing you'll say. So first off, it's not as bad as it could be. And then they'll talk about greedflation after that. And it's really interesting conversation to me because what you're saying is that France has more greedy corporations than America does, and they have less laws against price gouging, or you know that's kind of the argument that you're making is that in Europe they've got way looser restrictions on business.
And, well, you see what's. What I'm envious of people on the left is you don't have to make a coherent argument.
Yeah, yeah,
Nate. You can say that inflation's not that bad, but everything that has caused any of the inflation that exists can't be. The government investigated itself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They analyzed the layout of the land and they said,
it's a good point.
Oh, it wasn't us printing money. It was corporations raising their prices.
Yep.
Look at that report that just came out.
Imagine that. The FTC found that businesses were the ones that were in the wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Because if they didn't do that, then they would have no reason for existing, by the way. They're always going to find that businesses are in the wrong. That's their whole job. If they never found that, then we wouldn't need them anymore. There are quotes for people who aren't watching on YouTube, which is almost everyone.
Remember when you could get eggs for like 38 cents?
No, personally, I don't remember that. But maybe I was a kid. I don't know.
Good. Well, it's because you buy cage free or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't think regular eggs were that cheap either in the last few years.
They're pretty cheap.
Maybe a dollar.
$1, 89 cents, something. I don't remember. They weren't that expensive.
The egg prices have gone back down a bunch because there was a really big bird flu that went through and the egg prices went up a whole lot. And once they...
Birdflation.
Once they equalized the bird demand back out.
Yeah, see, I wasn't
that
wrong. The
prices went back down.
79 cents a dozen.
See, I haven't.
You just get the regular.
I haven't bought regular eggs in a long time.
I just bought a dozen a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure they're like $2.69 or something like that. I don't remember, or 349. I don't remember. It was a lot. I remember looking at that being like, that's a lot.
Yeah. you stored that in your memory afterwards.
Okay. I didn't have enough storage to, you know, do the calculations.
So Beto's argument here is that Biden needs to draw people's attention to the real culprit, which has been the people that are raising their prices in the face of inflation, which inflation is an account of people raising their prices in the first place. And it has nothing to do with all of this money that was printed and distributed throughout the U.S. Nothing like that whatsoever. Interest rates getting pushed down to near zero during the pandemic, or basically zero during the pandemic either. No, nothing like that. It all has to do with greedflation. And all of a sudden, it just so happened that all the corporations became greedy. And then they all decided in the last year or so that they were going to be less greedy all of a sudden. And apparently in the UK and in Europe in general, they have more greedy corporations than we have here because they haven't gotten their inflation numbers down like we have. And inflation is driven by corporate greed, and so therefore there's more corporate greed over in the EU. So anyhow, does that all make sense to you?
Perfect.
Okay, good. Making sure that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that was number three. Let's go to number four.
And by the way, the other thing that bothers me is, like, you know, well, you mentioned the flaws and how they changed how they calculate, but the other thing is, like, Trump is not lying. He's actually right on some of the groceries. Like, some things have gone up that much. I don't know if bacon's five times, but
that's five times is quite a lot.
I would say it's gone up maybe at least 100%.
Probably doubled.
It's doubled.
Double bacon.
Some things have definitely doubled. My own freezer was an account of how steaks doubled because I had them in there. And that was just over a period of like 10 months.
Yeah.
And the prices were still on the package. Mm-hmm. It literally went from $9.99 or $10.99 a pound or whatever to literally $18.99 a pound. It's ridiculous.
Quite a lot.
Yes. So some things have gone up. That's by 50, 60, 70%.
I'm a really cheap person. This is why I eat hamburger helper and, you know, beef stroganoff and stuff like that. Zatarain's dirty rice, and things like that. So I don't really know how steak prices have changed, really.
Yeah. Well, you're not fat. I'm fat. I've got to,
you're buying that stuff.
Quality.
That's because I eat hamburger helper and you eat ribeyes.
Yeah, so, that's what it is.
Okay, let's go on to number four. We'll stick on politics here for a minute. Gavin Newsom and several other people have posted this, basically this exact same thing out. By the way, massive fundraiser for Biden held in New York. Obama was there. Clinton was there. Jeffrey Epstein sent his best from the grave. He couldn't be there. It's too bad. But they're raising a ton of money right now for Biden. I don't know how much the money thing really matters. Everyone knows who Biden is. Everyone knows who Trump is. They've both been, you know, one is the president right now. The other one has been a president before. There's really no secrets about either one of these people.
Obama's the president, you're saying?
But Biden is raising way more money than Trump is. That's the bottom line. And most of Trump's money is going to lawyers, which could be part of the plan, their plan, whoever they are. Anyhow, Gavin Newsom says, here's your reminder that these three, it's a picture of Obama, Biden, and Clinton, have created 49 million out of the 51 million jobs in America since 1989.
Oh, the patriarchy.
96% of all jobs for the last 35 years created by Democratic presidents. Mm. Now, you could look at the numbers, as I did today, and you could figure out that, yes, I did this today because it's fun. You can look at the numbers and you can figure out that the numbers he just laid out are true. Okay. I'm not even going to dispute the numbers that he just laid out. And I'm not even going to say that Republicans are great at growing jobs and actually it's Democrats that are bad and they're setting up the economy for failure or whatever. It's not about that. I hate it when people do statistics and do numbers and when they don't account for different variables. And you don't even have to use it for this argument if you don't want to. But I don't like pretending as if the job decline during the pandemic is 100% on the fault of the fact that Donald Trump was president. I know that he has blame for what happened during the pandemic.
And he helped shut the economy
down. He helped shut things down. I know that he has blame. But when you use these numbers and you don't put a little asterisk there next to it or whatever, when you use these numbers, what you're actually saying is, if there were a Democrat president during COVID, well, they wouldn't have shut the economy down. They wouldn't have allowed businesses to close. They wouldn't have spent as much money as Trump spent. And that's just simply not true at all. And so when you try to use this and you blame Trump for these job losses, because he had a net loss of almost 3 million jobs while he was the president because of COVID. Yes, because of COVID. And he would have been something like plus 6 million jobs or whatever had COVID not happened, something in that line. And then Biden, with this massive job jump of 14.3 million jobs, well, that's switching from a time when people weren't allowed to work to all of a sudden they were allowed to work. And then pretending like those jobs should be applied to the fact that Joe Biden was president, as if there were a Republican in office, well, the economy wouldn't have reopened at this time and those jobs wouldn't have existed. And so that's what you're doing when you use these numbers and you pretend like this is actually the case. It just drives me nuts when this happens.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's that thing. The other little caveat I'll put in there.
You should have measured from the high peak of Trump to the peak of Biden.
I did.
I wonder what that would be.
I didn't put it in there, but okay. I did do that. It's well, let me just tell you for
still
fun.
Looks about 3 to 4 million jobs.
Let me see here.
I mean, first of all, the government doesn't really create jobs anyway.
Yeah.
The president doesn't really create jobs. Now they can influence policy that can hamper the economy.
They can.
For instance, but also previous presidents can put in policy that would affect future presidents, by the way.
Like, for instance, you could have something like the housing market crisis that happens in Bush's term. And you can put plenty of blame on George W. for that. You can. But you can also put blame on Bill Clinton for that because of some of the or at least his agencies and the people that were in charge of the agencies if you wanted to. And so, yeah, it's not all on whoever the president is. We'll continue this conversation when we come back and we have a whole lot more dumb bleeps to go through. The Fed Haters Club is going to be voting for Dumb Bleep of the Week. We'll see who makes it to Dumb Bleep of the Year at the end of the year. Fed Haters Club, by the way, you can go to joingml.com to join the Fed Haters Club.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327. Or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.